I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. It's nearly 50 years now since the assassination of John F. Kennedy. This past week, Lee Harvey Oswald would have turned 72. His lover, Judith Vere Baker, has been in Canada this week to do a series of interviews about Oswald, their relationship, and the undercover plot that brought them together, which resulted in the murder of Kennedy in Dallas, Texas, November 22, 1963. Ms. Baker has written a book, Me and Lee, How I Came to Know, Love, and Lose Lee Harvey Oswald. And after its publication some time ago, she is finally talking about what's in the book and about Oswald, all in an effort to reconsider and rehabilitate his place in history. We'll get Ms. Baker to tell us about what Oswald was doing, how he got set up, and how he eventually met his own demise some days after the assassination at the hands of Jack Ruby. Since the assassination, Judith Vere Baker has lived a quiet life outside the public eye, living overseas in the midst of death threats. She joins me from Montreal today. The book is available from meandlee.com as well. Amazon and Chapters are selling it on their websites. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Judith Vere Baker. Good morning, Ms. Baker.
Hello. Thank you very much for your nice introduction.
You're very welcome. Thanks for joining us. Have you enjoyed your visit to Canada?
Well, I'll put it succinctly this way. One interviewer, after tremendous response, we had incredible. I mean, it got so busy. Once I was had to be interviewed while eating lunch. I mean, there wasn't even a break for that.
Yeah.
One person said, "Toronto loves you," and I'm beginning to feel like Canada loves me, and that's a good feeling after really bad things that have happened to me. I was like 5 times in the hospital in 5 years when I tried to live in the United States, finally had to live overseas in order to be able to speak to you today.
Yeah.
So in safety.
Yeah. When was the last time you were in the States?
I haven't been there since May of 2007.
Really? Yeah. Do you miss it at all?
I haven't. I just got my first hamburger in 5, you know, since then, just today.
Really? Yeah. Do you miss it at all?
Oh, of course. I have my children are there, my grandchildren. In fact, they've all come up, and I'm going to be able to see them for one day before I leave again and go back into hiding. This is not the way I expected to spend my golden years, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the number of death threats that you've had over the years.
Ever
now?
Ever since 1999.
Really?
Yeah, I had a threat before coming here, and coincidentally, I don't think that it's a direct consequence, but it seems that sometimes things happen. Even yesterday, I went by ambulance to the emergency room because there was glass in my food.
Really?
And everybody, we don't know how that got there, but it's probably an accident. But it is peculiar that every time I speak out, something bad happens. Whether it was following me around, or please, God, stop it, you know, help me. And, of course, actually, I do feel like God has spared my life.
So why have you decided to speak out after all these years?
Well, you keep if you look at the Warren Report and read it and all that, anyone with brains and IQ that's not double digit, okay, can understand that there are serious problems with the Warren Commission report. It's out of date, too. We have so much more new evidence that's come out, and yet you have these people who they're going to defend the government position, even though it's archaic, out of date, and we have all this extra evidence. And I really believed in the beginning that the evidence would come forth pretty soon. Then a lot of people have died. And I was told to be quieter and I would join them. It's in the book, exactly everything that happened to me. I loved Lee. Lee and I, we fell in love right away. And fortuitously for me, he had enough power basically to make sure I'd be saved. But it wasn't easy. He told me at one point that he was afraid he couldn't protect me anymore and that I would even have to denounce him to save my life. I have to tell you that I've been asked to say that Lee did kill Kennedy, and if I would, I'd be safe, and I'd be, I presume I'd be safe, I should say, and I'd be a rich woman.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you the truth, and because of that, I'm going to see my family just one day, and I'm going to have to go back to Europe and hide in Europe. I have friends there, thank God, but I don't live a very rich life at all. I mean, I eat horse meat and moose meat, and I live in an ice cube. And the other part of the time, I live in Istanbul with a burqa on. And, you know, you can't see anybody with a veil. So, but that's not the way I haven't seen my children, my grandchildren. I love them. Some of my family won't speak to me, though. I have death threats, yes, in the United States. There are some people who say, well, look, Okay, we see that you did, because I have witnesses, living witnesses. We see you did know Lee Oswald, that you did have an affair with him, and you knew that Kennedy was going to be shot by him. Therefore, if you come to the United States, we'll get you arrested as an accessory after and before the fact. They're serious.
Really? Yeah. So,
well, think about that. I mean, you know, we've got the documentation. The people who used to say, oh, she didn't know Oswald, she didn't work here, then they have to talk to you, and then to say, okay, she had an affair. And then they say, oh, she had an affair, but she wouldn't know anything. He certainly lied to her at the very least. That's not so. And you get in the book, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So talk to us about when you met Oswald. There was instant chemistry?
Yes, sir, there was. I mean, you might not believe in love at first sight. I certainly didn't. I thought I had love because I had a boyfriend who said, I'll come marry you, and he had a wonderful affair, and I thought I was in love. It was nothing like what happened with Lee. Lee was an entirely different person. He had not just intelligence, but he cared. Even his enemies and even the worst things written about him, if they go into his life, they say how tenderly he loved his children, and even though he didn't get along with his wife at all, they had a miserable marriage, and I had a very, very bad marriage in that. I was married one day, and my husband said, well, if I told you I was going to be gone almost all the time, I'm sure you wouldn't have married me. And then he left.
Really?
I was practically abandoned in New Orleans.
So you'd met him in New Orleans.
Yes,
you were
and we...
You were on this project with Dr. Mary Sherman, right?
Dr. Mary Sherman, Dr. Ochsner called me and said, you know, we'd like to have you come work with us in New Orleans. We'll put you in medical school 2 years early. We think you're fantastic, and, you know, you can stroke the person, you know. We'll give you a stipend. I came 2 weeks early. I was so excited, and they weren't there. And actually, I was getting myself into some trouble because without any money, I had to live in a dorm room at the YWCA with four other girls and two strippers, a fat waitress, a young waitress, and a Playboy bunny. She was in training school to be a bunny, and they were taking me around to the wrong people. We now believe that Lee was sent to kind of make sure that I wouldn't get hurt and that I would be steered in the right direction until the doctors got back and they could set me up. Unfortunately for all of us, or in a way, not really. I guess I'm glad I'm alive to tell you these things. I did learn aspects on the clandestine side because David Ferry, who was involved in the project for a number of reasons, had requested for help because he was involved in the Godfather's trial and also in an appeal to get his airline pilot back, and he had to go a lot, his pilot license back, and he didn't have time to do some of the things they were asking for an assistant. They thought I was he, you know, this guy that, or woman, who would have been sent, and actually that was someone else. By the time the doctors got back, they had told me a lot of things that this other person who would have been clandestine, you know, involved outside, learned, and so there I am. I've learned what really is going on, that the project I've been asked to get involved in, involving SB40 monkey virus and rapidly growing cancers, something I specialized in even though I was quite young, this was a project to help try to kill Fidel Castro. This was a shock to me, and I needed a lot of verification, and so Lee took me to meet Guy Bannister, and that, of course, is in the History Channel documentary that was made about me, and which, as you know, was promptly banned.
Right.
You can only find now on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there I was. Needed a protector. Needed someone to help me get around. And Lee was assigned to basically do that, help with the project any way he could. We had cover jobs. Lee and I both joined a small. Well, we were hired, so called, by Standard Coffee Company, a tiny subsidiary at that time of Riley, the same day, and from the same employment agency. Then a week later, we were transferred the same, very same day to Riley Coffee Company. When Lee was released from there, they put an ad in the paper, and we have that ad, to replace me because I was no longer needed. We were working as a team, Lee and I. And then when Lee was arrested, I was still at Riley. Well, they got rid of me that same day on August 9th because it didn't look good to see me still working for the company when people had seen me with Lee. And we have living witnesses. Well, they were alive, I should say. My main witness died just a very, very recently of lung cancer. But she's on film and audio tape because we double-dated with her and her husband. This was Anna Lewis. And besides that, we have another witness, Mac McCullough, who says definitely I was with the presumed assassin of Kennedy, and we were companions and so on. He saw us a lot, Mac McCullough. We have also the Charles Thomas family. Their grandfather, father, slash, was involved with customs, newly was flown in from Miami to expedite his passport, along with a small stack of others so it wouldn't look obvious. He went under the name of Arthur Young. Lee Oswald, who had been in Soviet Russia, okay, the Soviet Union, for almost 3 years, comes back to the United States, does not get arrested. And we have a book, the very first book ever published, about Lee Oswald and this and the assassination in 1964, saying he should have been arrested. And I've been saying that for a long time. Lee should have been arrested had he been what they said he was, a defector who gave secrets to the USSR. That's not the case, of course. He went right on with his life. They were setting him up for other assignments. And he gets his passport in 24 hours from Charles Thomas, who is posing as Arthur Young. And I was there and met him and shook his hand. And the family verified various things, such as his silvery hair and tattoos on his fingers and other aspects. So we have witnesses of my involvement with Lee, and that Lee was actually cooperating with customs, with FBI, with the CIA. And so here he is, trotted out as Kennedy's assassin. How did this happen?
And so when was it that you met Clay Shaw? Was this he was part of this project?
Well, in the book, by the way, you know, Garrison, Jim Garrison, you can see that in the film JFK.
Yeah.
They said, what happened? There's this woman who was with Lee Oswald. If only we knew who she was, you know. And
yeah.
We know that Lee Oswald was in Clinton, Louisiana, was seen in a black Cadillac, of all things, with this important manager of the trademark, you know, there in New Orleans, Clay Shaw. And David Ferry was with him. What in the world is going on? And why were they forced to sit for hours, or that is, they sat for hours, in front of a courthouse there in Feliciana Parish, well, everybody's staring at them and they don't leave. What is going on? Well, first of all, they had to wait for a phone call. Secondly, they were going to join a convoy, and that convoy was going to the Jackson Mental Hospital where prisoners were being transferred for experimentation in the bioweapon project that we were developing. When you read the book, you'll see how it all fits together. Many other unanswered questions about Lee Oswald's activities are completely explained. This is stuff I didn't want to have to talk about. I didn't want my life ruined. Mm-hmm. I've lost my career. I've lost my teaching career. I can't be home with my family. I've lost everything, sir. But because all the evidence has come out and still people ignore it, they still pretend that Lee killed a man that he tried to protect, and that's the President of the United States, JFK.
So
I have to speak out before it's too late.
Yeah. So about Shaw,
he's
in that film, the JFK film that you've mentioned.
Yes, and it's quite important. It was wonderful what Garrison did.
Yeah. Now, he was, you're all part of this project, and so at this point now you and Lee are in the midst of your affair. He sort of facilitated that, did he?
Well, apparently you've read some of the material, and
yeah.
I congratulate you for that. It's kind of interesting. Clay Shaw was not a monster in every aspect or anything like that. He was respected. He was a socialite. He was friendly. He had friends that were women and so on. And, I mean, he felt sorry for us. We were busy. We were working very hard in these projects, and we had nowhere to be where we had safety, and he gave Lee substantial amount of money. Now, later, with hindsight, just sounds, to me, it's suspicious. I wonder if they, you know, want to keep track of us. At the time, it seemed quite nice of him, and we, used the money to have places for us to go in the afternoons, very, very rarely at night, where we could have time to ourselves. And he even left a little basket of fruit at the first time, and some phonograph records and a phonograph player, and said that it was a little note saying, "I hope you enjoy this. This is for the young lovers. Hope you enjoy this music as much as I have." And it was signed CLS for Clay Laverne Shaw. That's what Lee told me. So even though I had met him a couple of times, never talked to him, never was involved in that part of it, I found at least that Clay Shaw laughed his head off when he found out we were trying to make love once in a van, and that van was so hot. It was in a garage, locked up in a garage, and he couldn't get the engine started, and he said, I don't want to see you guys trying to survive in a van again, you know. I hope you find this. I'm not trying to sound, you know, like I'm making some loose comments. I'm just trying to say we were young, and we really needed some encouragement, and we were exhausted often. We were worked very hard, sir, that summer.
Did you ever meet Marina or their children?
I saw her from a distance once. I saw Junie quite a bit when they had an argument, or when Lee would take her for a walk. They had a stroller, and they also, but Lee would often just carry her, and she was a toddler, and he was encouraging her to walk, and then he would carry. He adored Junie, and Marina was pregnant, and often she would go out with the baby too. But I didn't live very far from him. Lee arranged a place for me to live. As I say, it's in the book how that happened, and how he rescued me from really rough circumstances after my husband basically let me be on my own, and the doctors still weren't in town. There was a police raid on this place. Anyway, he got me a new place to live close to where he would move in one week later himself. So I saw Junie and held her. In fact, to the extent that I had to change where to shop in the supermarket because we were afraid if Marina and June were in the store at the same time I was getting groceries, she might call out my name, or, you know, you go, "Hello," or something, and that would look pretty bad, you know. So I had to change supermarkets from Winn-Dixie. I had to go start going to Piggly Wiggly. Anyway, it's just a little side thing there. I did see Marina once when Lee got his first paycheck and he cashed it, and he got off the bus, and Marina brought out Junie, who had no hair on her head and had a little bonnet on her head, sort of like. And as Lee bent to pick up Junie, she took the wallet out of Lee's pocket and took the money out of his wallet. So that's all I ever saw of Marina, you know, that close.
And today, do they want to vindicate Oswald too?
Oh, yes, indeed. They now have enough evidence. See, so much new evidence has come out that these defenders of the Warren Commission don't even want you to know about. You have Doug Horne's wonderful book from the AARB. There's five volumes showing how we have autopsy photos that were altered, how there's a Zapruder film. You have black paint was placed in the back so you can't see where Kennedy's head was blown out from the back. By the way, the Sixth Floor Museum says they're lying. There's no reason for Doug Horne or the people in Hollywood who looked at the film and said that this film has been altered and painted. They said that they're lying. These people had no reason to lie. They just wanted to know what was going on, you know. It's a little hard to hear you because we're in transport.
Right.
But I hope you don't mind if you hear background noise.
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, at any rate, Marina and I, we both know that Lee was not a perfect person. Marina wasn't. That was a marriage of convenience. They liked each other quite a bit. And, when you get to live with someone, you end up loving them. She had children. They did have Rachel. This is what Lee told me. She wanted to come to the United States very well. He needed someone to marry when he was there so he could stay long enough to get one more piece of a project done there in the Soviet Union. By the way, people should understand that one of the things that they knew would happen, Lee was a very patriotic person and very loyal to the CIA and to the ONI and that had loaned him to our country. They knew when they arrested him, he would not say, I'm CIA, I'm ONI. They knew that he would not betray all those contacts in Russia who would be killed if he spoke that, talked about that. Lee was calm and collected a lot of that period of time because he felt that when he got in sufficient privacy away from the press, he would be able to get, he would be able to call the FBI or CIA to decide to get him out of this mess. But of course, that was not their intention. By the way, it was only 47 hours after Lee was arrested that he was shot dead.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a few days. They got rid of him right away before I learned recently that a private press conference had been set up for Lee to speak to the press after he was transferred to his new jail, you know,
yeah.
Cell, new facility. And, of course, they couldn't let that happen. He would have had a real opportunity to talk. And I believe at that time he would have brought up enough information so that he could have said more to help exonerate himself, though he could never have said that he was CIA to the press. I consider him a hero. He told me that if I stay, there will be one less bullet aimed at Kennedy, and what he meant by that is I asked him to please flee for his life. He said we'd die if he did that. By the way, you have Charles Rogers. Someone who did flee, some people say he was one of the tramps. Others say that he was involved in the assassination in some way. This is a man who fled, and you go to his parents' home, and you have all kinds of, looks like, planted evidence against Charles Rogers, and you find that both his parents were chopped to pieces and placed in a freezer, and he has been, of course, blamed with the murder of his own parents. Whether he would be that evil or not, for what I know that real evil things can be done. My very good friend, Debbie Reynolds, had a beautiful little house with antiques in it, a very pretty house. She went to help me for 2 weeks at City of Dallas looking at the records, and we found records showing that Jack Ruby had really been abused by the doctors at so-called retreating him at Parkland Hospital. He entered Parkland Hospital. He was sick from jail. This is right after they said they were going to transfer him, just in a couple days, mm-hmm. out of Dallas, okay, for a new trial.
Mm-hmm.
He's ill, seems to have a bad cold or pneumonia. Yes, they diagnosed him with pneumonia after his x-rays, okay? Then we find a record showing he had been in the x-ray room 45 minutes. And, I mean, people at press were out there and everything. He should have been in there, got x-rayed and out. If you have ever been in a hospital before, we had our wonderful... services today where everything's full. It wasn't like that back then. In other words, as you'll read in the book, he was stood in front of x-ray machines far too long. That pulls down the immune system. He probably glowed like a light bulb.
Uh-huh.
And there he is, trotted out. The next day, just 2 days later, they say, "Ooh, we were wrong. He doesn't have a cold. He has galloping lung cancer. I mean, it's just all over him." They analyze the lung cancer, and they say, "Ooh, it came from the pancreas." But when poor Jack Ruby goes through an autopsy, you find out that he didn't have any cancer in his pancreas. He said, "I've been injected with cancer cells. Get me out of here."
Yeah.
Okay, and he died of it.
Now, let's
and of course, cancer cells are what we were working on to kill Castro with.
Let's move to November 22nd and
yes.
where Lee was on that day. You spoke to him the day before, right?
Yes, 37 and a half hours, actually, precisely before the assassination. We were in telephonic communication, and this is all set up with a call wheel, and I couldn't reach him before that. You'll find in the record that a woman with no accent called the Texas School Book Depository and asked for the new janitor, Lee Oswald. They later put the word Harvey in between that. It's handwritten in. He didn't like the name Harvey, and I never would have called him that. That was me. I called him because it would be the last opportunity to hear his voice. And because at the time I called, he knew when to call me back and where because of the way we had the code set up. And also because I asked for the new janitor, and he wasn't. He was a clerk. He wasn't a janitor. But the J.A., my name is Judith Ann Very Baker, and that J.A., he knew it was me calling. So he did not accept the call, but then that night he called me. And basically we both broke down and cried our heads off because he said, look, Judy, you know, I've penetrated this group, and this started in New Orleans, because this Kill Castro group, a lot of them wanted to kill Kennedy, and they switched over to that. Once you have this machinery set up to kill a head of state, it can be used again and again, you know, mm-hmm. and it can be used against anyone you want if you have enough power to run the machine. In this case, Lee had penetrated this group that began in New Orleans, and by the way, the Warren Commission did everything it possibly could to avoid New Orleans. And you know about Mary Sherman,
mm-hmm.
how she was murdered?
Yep.
That was my doctor. The day the Warren Commission came, the day the Warren Commission came to get testimonies, that was July 21st, 1964, front page news was my doctor was found dead, mattress on, you know, fire, there were flames in the house there, everything smoldering. She was stabbed, and her right arm was missing. They said burned away. Now, we have Edward Haslam, who has written the book Dr. Mary's Monkey, and that book came out before mine, saying, what technician was helping Mary Sherman and David Ferry? Well, that was me, working on this project, and what happened to her? You know, why did she die? I don't have much time left because we have arrived at a new destination here.
Right.
But I do want to let you know that you'll find the answers to everything and why Lee got involved, that he was innocent. And I'll tell you, I have risked my life to come here. I may not be able to talk again ever. The book was out a whole year. And finally, Federal Jack, Popeye, I got an interview there. And people promised me I'd be safe if I came to Canada. It's been a wonderful experience. People have embraced me. I have felt so loved here. And I have hopes. So I want to...
Judith, it's been fascinating to talk to you today. I appreciate your time. I've read a great deal about you over the last couple of weeks and have heard you out. I still don't know what to think about what happened in history, but I do hope you find the peace and happiness you seek. Thanks for this today.
Well, God bless you, dear, and thank you very much for this opportunity to tell people that Lee was innocent. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. The book is called Me and Lee, How I Came to Know, Love, and Lose Lee Harvey Oswald. It's available on Amazon and Chapters, and of course at meandlee.com. Judith Very Baker on the line from Montreal. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.